You get two pieces of paper, one pamphlet, and a piece of paper about the book of Ezekiel. All right? I think they're good, Jill. Yeah. There's more up here if you do need them. Okay? I think they've already got some. All right. Well, God bless you all for being here on this beautiful day. Isn't it a beautiful day today? And in a couple of Mondays, not this Monday, but the Monday after, I'm heading off to Asia. And I just want to begin by just talking a little bit about how that happened. And then I want to segue into the book of Ezekiel and just take some stuff out of that around the communion table today. If you could put the map of Asia, India, Asia up, please. You will see there where I'm going. I'm flying in from America over here. I got a good flight from Philadelphia all the way over to the Gulf, or over here somewhere. Just down there actually, to one of the places there, Doha, I think it is. And I'm flying on one of those Middle Eastern airways that are sponsored by a local king or whatever. And I'm assured that the food is going to be incredible. So I'll arrive in Doha, a very happy man, I guess. After a couple of hours, I'll be going down to Hyderabad. If you could move on to the next slide, moving into the middle of India and down to Singapore down here. So on to the next slide, which there we go. There's Hyderabad there. I'm arriving at Hyderabad 1:30 in the morning, and I just conveyed that to Sam Purushottam. All of you know Sam Purushottam. He said that he's going to meet me at 1:50, I should say, in the morning. He's like that. He can be a bit of a night owl. He lived at our house for a while, and I have a pretty good understanding of how that afflicts people. So he's going to come out, and he's going to meet me. And a couple of hours after that, I'm hopping on to, I think it's called GoJet. It's either GoJet or SpiceJet. I'm not sure. I remember flying once. Christo and Deepa probably remember one of the Indian Airlines. I remember flying once from Colombo to Chennai on an aircraft and an airline, which is no longer in business, and rightly so, because there was water dripping from the roof of the aircraft down onto our laps, and the carpet was wet, and so they did a pretty good job of getting off the ground and staying in the air, I think. But this is not one of those, and the other thing that impresses me is that the costs of flights are so ridiculously cheap. And so I'm going to be on one of these flights for $50. Actually, one of them is $32. And arriving in Chennai. And in Chennai or Madras there, I'm going to be meeting with Deepa's father. Deepa, stand up, will you? Deepa, stand up. She's embarrassed. Yeah, I'm going to be meeting with her father. Now, they never talk about themselves, but Christo has a lot of friends right down there, that part of India down there, that he helps with their missions work. And so, that, you know, next time you see Deepa, ask him about that. And the other thing, too, is that Deepa's father, he preaches at different churches. And I want to meet with him because that's what the trip is all about. It's about partnership. And I want to meet as many people as I can and get involved with them in terms of spreading the gospel. And I'll take you through this little pamphlet here in a moment, and you'll just see how incredible things are. But I'll be meeting with some people there, and our task is to train as many people as we can to go out and train others, because the whole drive is to make disciples who make disciples. We need to understand here that we're not a disciple until we're making disciples. All right? That's something that's repeated a couple of times in the Word of God, that we're not a disciple until we're followers of Jesus, and we understand His Lordship in our lives, but we need to be making disciples, and that is the call of God that is upon us. And so we'll be training people to make disciples, and they are doing it. They are doing it to an incredible degree. There are incredible numbers of people who are meeting Jesus, and I don't know whether you're aware of it, but wherever there are trouble spots in the world, underneath, the thing that we never hear about is at the same time, there's often people coming to Christ hand over fist in great numbers. For example, if you think of Iran, which at the moment, you know, things are not going too well with Iran, but we know that in Iran at the moment, there are many, many people coming to the Lord. 80% of the people who are coming to the Lord in Iran coming to the Lord through dreams and visions, which a lot of churches in America don't even believe should be happening, which is crazy. And so over there in Iran, this is happening. And at the same time, there's this problem that they're having politically because there's an attempt to control what's happening, what's going on. I have just been... my visa arrived, Deepa, Christo. My visa arrived. I have a 10-year multiple re-entry visa into India. Can you believe that? I mean, how rare is that? How rare is that? My understanding from what you people have said is that's not something that they hand out. And I did have to jump through some hoops. But I've got it. I've got this 10-year multiple. I've got a visa until 2029 to go in and out of India at my will. How's that? All right, that's pretty amazing. And so what's happening is that I think that what's happening in a lot of countries at the moment is that you know how a farmer, there are times with a farmer where he'll be at certain parts of his farm he won't be harvesting on at a given period of time. But there'll be other parts of his farm where he is harvesting because the harvest is ready over there, but it's not ready over here. So it's not that he's turned his back on, say, like there's not a big harvest happening in America. Don't ever say because of that God's not interested in America anymore, because that couldn't be further from the truth. He's doing attending, weeding and feeding. That's what the Scots Lawn Grow people call it. You know, he's doing a weeding and feeding here in America at the moment. You know, putting a bit of fertilizer on, giving a bit of encouragement. But in some of these other parts of the world, there's a mighty harvest taking place. My wife will tell you that I love, when I'm tired, you know what I like doing? I have a smart TV. I can sit down in front of my smart TV. I don't put on the news or anything like that. I go to YouTube and I go to Welka Harvest, which I can sit in the cab of a great big wheat harvesting combine. And I can just sort of veg out, and I'm driving along great big 100, 200, 300, 400 acre fields, and I'm harvesting. Takes me right back to my childhood. It's wonderful, you know. She can't stand it. Oh, you're not doing that again, are you? You know, she comes in, you're not doing that again. But just to illustrate the point that there is a mighty harvest taking place in parts of the world at the moment, and we need to be partnering people to help them to make disciples. Otherwise, it'll be a great big wide harvest with little depth. We want it to have depth, all right? We want it to have depth as well as width. The stuff that's happening in China, still happening in China, is really amazing. So doors are open. And that's how I've experienced it. I just began praying. You know, you get to a certain age in life where, you're getting on a bit. I'm 65 and moving on to 66 now. And I can still put one foot after the other and do it quickly when I want to. That's what I call running now. Just lean forward and put one foot after another. So you kind of do that. And Tom's still doing it very well. And Tom, you were 70 the other day, weren't you? Oh, you weren't? Oh, were you 75? No? No? Oh, you must have been 69. You were 67? Oh, gosh. Tom was 67 just the other day. Yeah. Don't you think he's doing well, though? Yeah. Tom is not ready to go out the pasture, are you, Tom? Right? You know, you don't want to be sitting, in an easy chair out in your backyard just yet, do you? Soaking in the sun. Stuff to do. There's stuff to do. And I'm like that. I'm the same. Tom, the reason I focus on Tom is because he's still running. I mean, you run at quite a good clip too. How many of your grandchildren have beaten you so far in the runs that you go on? 3 out of 4. He's counting. He's counting. Can you see that? He's counting. But, you know, we get to a certain age and you want to make sure that the good years that you have left, that you want to do some good stuff in those years. And that's how I feel about it. So I began to pray, Lord, I want to know you and I want to make you known. That's an old YWAM phrase. I want to know you and I want to make you known. And, you know, I began praying that and asking that each day the Holy Spirit would lead me in every realm of my life. So lead me in my disciple making, lead me in my relationships with Cornerstone Christian Church, lead me in my relationships with the Early Learning Center that we have down below, with Tony. I pray Tony knows because I call him. you know, I'll be praying for you, Tony, and I'll just feel the urge to call you. How you doing? How you going? Because Tony's a local missionary to bikers in the city of Philadelphia. It's an important mission that's going on there. And so I'm praying that we will be partners in knowing Christ, number one, knowing Christ ourselves, but making him known as well. All right, so we can all say that, can't we? Just Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of your Holy Spirit, enable me to know you. That's what we were singing about, right? To know you and also to make you known to those that don't know you. All right, and so I began praying like that, and Brent Weaver passed through and he gave me some information that I thought was pretty good. I can just take my phone out now and point it at a copier. I was doing it on Friday. I was driving the people in the office crazy, just pointing it at the copier, and out spit these booklets. I should have brought a couple of them to show you, but these booklets just spit out. And it's how to know Jesus. It's how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's how to baptize, why you should be baptized, and how you can baptize somebody else yourself. And so there's about 64 booklets that are like this. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life. What is the Trinity? Very simple explanation of what the Trinity is. All of these things, and they've been used around the world. And so I thought, man, that's something that looks pretty good. All the stuff that I ever learned at Bible college, there it is. It's in my pocket. And I forgot to bring it with me today, otherwise I would show you. But that's what we're going to be training people in, you see, while we're in Chennai. Chennai across to another city called Vellore. That's Vellore right in the middle there. Then from Vellore back to Chennai, across to Singapore to meet with some leaders down there in what's called the Brother Joseph's Levite Network. They have a network of church planting churches called the Levite Network. We'll be training them. From there, go back to Bangalore. You might know Reg and Anish. I think Anish, I can't see anywhere past you guys at the front. I can see Tony's face, but after that he gets a bit blurry. So I'll be there in Bangalore. I don't know whether you know, but Reg and Anish belong to a family that has a church in Bangalore that has a whole number of different services, and I do understand that they reach about 18,000 people there. So I'll be there for a weekend. Then from Bangalore, I go down to Sri Lanka. Now, you might remember we had a guy from Sri Lanka, and this is the kind of stuff that's been happening in my life. I get an email, Brother Philip, I'm going to be... This is from a student that I used to have in a Bible school. Brother Philip, I'm going to be in Philadelphia. I would like to come and see you. Da, 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 da. And that was Basil Fernando. Right? So many of you met Basil Fernando. You thought he was speaking Latin, right? Yeah, he was speaking in tongues. But I asked him afterwards, because he had trained for a little while as a priest, you know, and then he got filled with the Holy Spirit of God and moved on to greater things. And so you might remember that man just before Christmas. And at the same time he was here, another guy from my past popped up. He came all the way to Philadelphia to be the speaker at a convention here in Philadelphia. He arrives in Philadelphia, and they'd forgotten to tell him that the convention had been cancelled. And so he calls me. Oh, I was quite pleased that it had been cancelled. He called me, and that's what led to Wayne Swift. You remember Wayne Swift a couple of weeks ago? That's what led to him being here a couple of weeks ago. Reignited a relationship that I had with that family many, many years ago. And so when that happens, I'm praying that prayer. You see, Lord, lead every by the Holy Spirit, empower every realm of my life. And things like that are just starting to happen. I mean, yeah, coming all the way to Philadelphia for a conference, you know, and all God really wants him to do is meet with me. That's basically what happened. And you think, wow, when you say it like that, I've never said it like that before. When you say it like that, that sounds a bit crazy, doesn't it? But that's what happened. That's what happened. And so we got to spend some time together. And I learned that he has a relationship with an NRI, a non-resident Indian, who is reaching up into this area and has baptized over 1 million people. That area up there, if you ask my friends down the back, that is a very hard anti-Christian area. He has baptized over 1 million people. He's established these churches, and now there's a ring of churches from Calcutta all the way through there. All right, 1 million people, and I want to partner with that guy. I want to be a partner with Wayne Swift and that guy. And so that's what's happening. So down in Sri Lanka, Basil, they have started already to translate the booklets that I'm going to be training people with. So that means that he had no authority, he took no notice of the copyright, because it's in English, and he knows? I don't know what happened. But they've just started. They've already translated three of the booklets into Sinhalese. That means that he now has booklets that are available, three booklets. There are 64, and he'll translate a lot of them, he and the team that he's got going. And that means that 19 million, 20 million, maybe 25 million people will have access to a resource that's free of charge. You know? So I want to partner with them. I want to partner with them because I believe in heaven and I do believe in hell. I don't believe in the song Imagine. I believe there is a heaven and a hell, and I want people to go to heaven, not hell. I want people to be in union, communion with God for eternity. And so after I've been down there in Sri Lanka, I'm going back up to Hyderabad to be with Sam for a week. Now, so here's the booklet, here's the little thing. Half the time I'm going to be working with an organization called One Mission Society, and just to introduce, it's the organization that Brent Weaver and his wife, Colleen Weaver, she's preached here in this church, Dr. Colleen Weaver, and so they belong to the same organization. One Mission Society, One Lord, One Life, One Calling. By God's grace, this is what I like about the society. By God's grace, One Mission Society unites, inspires, and equips Christians to make disciples of Jesus Christ, multiplying dynamic communities of believers around the world. That's there, okay? So let's turn it over a little bit further to that page. See that page there? Let me take you through this page now. One Mission Society is an evangelical interdenominational faith mission with more than 500 missionaries. I'm one of them now, by the way. Partnering with 30-plus denominations. And they're asking for more and more and more and more denominations to get involved. Now, this is the mission society that never used to partner with churches like ours, and they do now. In fact, the lady, they even have a lady, an Assemblies of God lady, who runs their intercessory department. Right? A few years ago, the churches, people like this, didn't believe in intercession like this, like we do. And so they have this lady who has come back from the mission field. She's in her 70s. Since been back from the mission field, the Lord has laid on her heart an outreach into strip clubs. And she has 21 outreaches across America now. This old lady, right? I'm trying to get her to come to our ladies' camp, actually. She's the one that I'm trying to get. She has 21 outreaches into strip clubs. In fact, we were sitting there having dinner with her, and she said, I have to go at 7. I have an appointment that I have to keep. And I said, oh, who are you meeting with? She said, I'm meeting with a hooker in a strip club. How's that? And I said, lady, go. Right? You go. You go. You go and you do it. Right? Her name is Carolyn Knight, so pray for her. Carolyn Knight. Pray for her, and I hope to have her to come and speak to you one day. What an incredible woman she is. 30 denominations, more than 14,000 national co-workers, that's whom we're going to be training in Chennai and in Singapore, who together, listen to this, plant more than 6,000 churches each year. Every second, every 31 seconds on average, someone comes to know the Lord through the work of this organization. So every half minute, somebody's becoming a believer through the work of this organization, carried out in 45 languages around the world. Do you want to know what their goal is? Do you want to know how many people they want to reach? Well, I think it's 2023. I thought I can get a hold of this. By 2023, they want to have had the gospel shared with 1 billion people that have not heard the gospel yet. They want to share the gospel with 1 billion people who have not had the privilege of hearing about the saving faith of Jesus Christ. 1 billion. I've made my goal to reach 1 million. Sam Purushottam in Hyderabad, he came out one morning while he was saying, Pastor, I believe I can reach 1 million. I believe I can reach 1 million. And so I'm going over there to meet with Basil's son. He's got a doctorate from a theological college in Singapore. He said it was boring. I want to introduce him to a life with a goal of reaching 1 million people. That'll get rid of boring. That'll get rid of boring. And there are other people over there. Deepa knows Josie Chaco in Chennai, right? I know his wife, Dori, and Josie's well on the way. Josie's well on the way. I'm sorry, Jacob Koshy. Well on the way. to reaching more than a million people. Has a church of some 8,000, I think it is, in Chennai. So wanting to partner with people like that so that the work of the gospel goes out. All right, now, one of our elders, Greg Metzger, he's my accountability partner and the treasurer for Acts Mission, through whom I'll be doing the rest of the work, is Tom over here. So any monies that I collect for what's going on, they are keeping an eye on it with me, and I can assure you that it's being used to do just what I'm talking about. We want to reach a billion for Christ, and my slice of that, I believe, is to reach 1 million people, and I'm going to do it. All right, so I'm enheartened by the book of Ezekiel. All right, so turn quickly to the book of Ezekiel. I'm very quickly going to take us around the table of the Lord. And Ezekiel is a book inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's about the journey that we're on, and we have been since creation came out of chaos. I want you to remember that phrase, since creation came out of chaos. All right, say it with me. Since creation came out of chaos. It's the history and the future of God's purposes for all of us. It's the whole Bible. Ezekiel is the whole Bible, the whole story of God in a kind of a microcosm. And it's really beautiful. It starts with reference to the beauty of a garden and a relationship with God, which is, as far as we're concerned, being torn apart by sin, with our will being done. You might remember last week, Pastor Ryan talking about giving our time to the Lord and living according to the rhythms of His grace. If we choose to do His will and not our will, we will live in the rhythms of His grace, His time. Life apart from God is a torment. This is something that we understand. It's a shadow life. It's not a real life. It's a dead life, and we're surrounded by death. But we are different because we have a hope of resurrection. Here we are, surrounded by people who are the living dead, if you like. And we have the hope of a resurrection. It's a historical fact, this resurrection. And so we have this song that we sing, from the ashes of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. You remember that? It's DeMarco's song, I think it is. From the ashes of defeat, the resurrected King is resurrecting me and you. And we have a resurrection story of eternal life in Christ forevermore, fortified by the river of life, by the Spirit of God flowing from the throne of God. Fruit in season and out of season. This is all in the book of Ezekiel, by the way. Fruit in season and out of season. Bringing life to the Dead Sea. Right now, we might go to the Dead Sea so that we can kind of lay back in it and kind of be on top of the extremely salty water, and we can read a newspaper and the newspaper doesn't get wet. You know, have you seen those pictures? All right? Have you seen those pictures? But you imagine tourists turning up to the Red Sea that's being described here. And it's teeming with life. There's no life in the Dead Sea. That's why it's called the Dead Sea. There's no fish in the Dead Sea. Imagine the river of life that comes out from under the throne of God, going down the river of God, bringing life to the shores. There's desert there now, and he's saying that there's going to be trees, great trees, with healing in their leaves, fruit in season and out of season, that there's going to be an incredible new life, fish. The Dead Sea is going to be teeming with life. It's an incredible thing. It's all in this book of Ezekiel. But let's get back. That's at the end of the book. It's all described there. But I want us to go back to the beginning of the book, because there's something here that is really important. It's 600 BC, and a young man, a relatively young man called Ezekiel, he's a righteous man. You understand what that means, Stuart. He's a righteous man. He's a priest. He's in his training to move into the priesthood at the temple, right? And so if you could put that, there we are, see where the star is, that's the river Kibar, that's where he is. He's sitting next to a canal. It's not actually a river, it's a huge canal. It's the river Kibar, and this righteous young man, he's on the shores of this river, and he sees these visions, and he's there beside the river, and he's a captive, you know, by the rivers of Babylon, when we all sat down. What was her name? Donna Summer sang that, didn't she? Who remembers Donna Summer here? Nobody. Or you might remember Donna. No, only two or three, Jody. Me, you, and a couple of others. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You remember too, so that takes it up a little bit. Have you heard of Donna Summer? You know, by the rivers of... Yeah, you've heard of the song, have you? So this is where it comes from, okay? And there he is, and he's bitter in his spirit, because you see, the thing is, he's not meant to be where the star is. He's meant to be in Jerusalem, because in Jerusalem there's a temple. And he's meant to be in the temple serving God. And he's done nothing wrong. He's been translocated. He's been hijacked. He's been abducted. He's been trafficked, if you like, to a place where he didn't want to go. His dreams have been interrupted. His life has been interrupted. I should be in school. Right? You heard that phrase this week. Somebody feeling the same kind of way. Well, here's this man, Ezekiel. There's other things. He should be back. He should be back in Jerusalem. But he's not. He's been captured. Now, and he's beside this great river, this great canal, which in and of itself is a great testimony to the power of the fallen man. I don't know whether you know that, but you've got a man-made canal. And it represents this kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, that has come in and it's spoiled the house of God and it's taken the people of God where they did not want to go. And so here you've got this guy, he's at a place where he doesn't want to be. And he has a vision of the glory of God. And that of itself is amazing to him. He's shocked by it. Why is he shocked by it? Because God dwells in the temple in Jerusalem. And here he is, miles away, at least 500, 600 miles away from the temple in Jerusalem, and God appears to him. So here he is, he's bitter in spirit. His life has been interrupted. You can tell I've studied a little bit of literature. His life has been interrupted. Right? It's in a mess. He's not in control. And aren't we like that sometimes? We've been brought up and we're told, you've heard the phrase time and time again, if you work hard enough, you can do whatever you like. You put your mind to it, you can become an Olympic champion. How many people know as life goes on that that's not so? How many of you are right now are in the process perhaps of finding out that your dreams that you've had are just not going to work out? How many of you graduated with an incredible debt hanging around your neck that you can't pay off and neither can your parents? There's a lot of people that are hijacked right now. It's a story of our society, it seems, right now. But you want to know something? That the Spirit of God is not confined to four walls in a place far away. The Spirit of God comes to you wherever you are and whatever condition you're in. And He appears to you in all of His glory. And He says, here, I've got something I want you to be, and I've got something I want you to say. And He says that to everybody here today. He does. He says that to everybody here today, that our God has designed you for this time and this place and this day. You're not meant to be an Abraham 1,200, 1,500, 1,700 years before Christ. You're meant to be who you are on TV by the hand of God. Last week, or the week before. I watched it. What an incredible woman of God. And what a witness it was to see her talking about what she was doing and how God has touched her life. What an incredible testimony that is. Only God can do that. But what it means is it means that we have to give up our foolish dreams. One of the great writers from long ago, Francis Xavier, who went to Japan, of course, he said, give up your small ambitions. How many kids, when you ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be an astronaut. Well, the other day I heard somebody, they told me they want to be an astronaut and they also want to be a brain surgeon. All right? Oh, no, sorry, I'm sorry. They want to be a marine biologist and an astronaut. Well, good luck with that. You know, reality will strike. Right? And this is the problem, you see. We have the river of Kibar, the river of humanism, the river that is great. It's called great and strong, and that's what Kibar means. It's fast flowing, it's great and it's strong, and it carries people away. It's carried the people of God right to where God wants them to be. Ezekiel is where God wants them to be. And God appears to Ezekiel right there in that place. But Ezekiel has got to give up his own small ambitions and hear what God is saying to him in that place, here and now. And we've got to do the same thing. Give up our foolish dreams and ambitions. Understanding that God has specifically designed us for here and now, to complete the works He has prepared in advance for us to do. Do you get a hold of that? Please get a hold of that. It is so important that you understand that there's two rivers at work here. One is Kibar, a human river. And then you get to the end of the book of Ezekiel, and there's another river. It's the river of God. And in the river of God, what does it do? It flows from below the throne of God, and it brings power, it brings refreshing, it brings life to those that are dead. What would we rather have? Live beside a canal that's dead anyway. I don't know whether you know that, but canals are dead. Having lived beside some, you know, agricultural canals. Or live in the river of life. And Ezekiel puts those two options right in front of us today, right here and now. We might have been captured by this world. Our dreams may have been exploded as myths. And it may be that right now we're just discovering how the degree to which they are myths. Right? But there's something greater that God is standing and offering you this morning, and that is He can replace your dreams with His dreams. The Master of the universe, the Creator of the universe, the God of all the ages, the Alpha, the Omega, the one who transcends before the beginning and after the end. He has designed you for His dreams. You are the means by which His dreams take place on this world today. And that's what Ezekiel is about. So I'd like us to come around the table, and those that are helping with the emblems, if you would like to come up now and help me with this. And I'd like you to hold on to the emblems, if you would, please, because it may be that this morning, you need to leap in to the river of life. It may be that this morning that God is giving you, and He is, I know He is, God's giving you the option of leaping into the river of life. And guys, if you would just like to go down and make sure that everybody has one of these. Thank you. Thank you very much. So 600 BC. And if you could put Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14 up. Please, Bronwyn, thank you very much. Here's this young man. He's a righteous young man in his own eyes, because he's done everything right. And he should be in the temple of God, serving God as a priest. And God comes to him on the side of this river, and the Spirit lifts him up. And Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 14 says, "The Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit, the hand of God being strong upon me. I came to the exiles at Tel Aviv, about 10,000 of them, who were dwelling by the Kibar Canal, and I sat where they were dwelling, and I sat there overwhelmed among them for 7 days. What was it that he saw? Could you put the next slide up, please? Let's see if we can get some kind of idea. This is an artist's impression of what he might have seen. Put the next one up, please, too. It might have looked something like this. And so here you've got this guy, this young man, and he's shocked because he suddenly realized that the Spirit of God is not confined to 700, 800 miles away, to the four walls of the temple, but wherever you are, whatever state that you're in this morning, the glory of God is with you. You need to understand that. 1 John says that you have an anointing from the Holy One. That's what 1 John says. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Thank you, guys. And so there we have this picture that he sees, and he describes this picture, and of course, you know, you have the Spirit of God flowing out from under the throne, from Jerusalem down into the river, talking about the River Jordan, if you want to make it applicable in that kind of way, down through the desert, bringing life to the desert. This you can be that river, because you have an anointing from the Holy One to bring life and fruit and goodness to the people that God has specifically prepared you for, designed you to stand amongst your context. God has a grand context with, which involves the entire universe, but your context, the one that he's interested in you and that he's interested about, he's standing there with you, right? You with the motorcycles. You have an anointing from the Holy One to do what God has called you to do. Don't let anybody ever, as they have tried recently, don't you let them deter you from what you know the call of God is upon your life. Learn from Ezekiel, right? And so this river goes out and it brings life to even the Dead Sea. The incredible thing is that you can bring life to people who are dead. Dead in their past and sin, but now you have life. Amen? How many people here were dead, but now have life? Hallelujah. It is. And this is what he's talking about. There's even, look, I'm sorry, I've gone over time and got a little bit excited about this, but let me just finish with this. In Ezekiel 37, he describes, he has another vision. Ezekiel has another vision. And he sees a valley of dry bones. They're dead. They're bleached. Have you ever seen, I'm off a farm, I've seen bleached bones, right? Seen bleached bones in the corner of a field? They're white, they're bleached, the weather has done its dash with them, and they're good for nothing. They really are good for nothing. But he's told by the power of God to speak over these dead bones, and what happens? They come to life, and they become an army in the purposes of God. That same spirit that's working there is the spirit that hovered over the waters in Genesis chapter 1 and brought creation to chaos. That same spirit is the spirit that came upon the people in Acts chapter 2. That same spirit is the spirit that came upon you too some 60-odd years ago as you were seeking the Lord as Lutherans. And God came and touched you by the power of the Spirit and changed your lives forever. Amen? That's the same spirit that leads us today. That river of God, that spirit brings life to even dead bones. You might be standing in the middle of a field of dead bones right now, but I'm telling you, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you can bring them life. Amen? Please stand and please take these emblems as a celebration of what God has done in your life. Maybe you've never taken the step of saying, God, I want to know you and make you known. Well, you say that in your heart right now. God, I want to know you and make you known. And God, I want you by the power of the Holy Spirit just to lead and guide every realm in my life from this day forth. And I want you to celebrate the fact that you just said that and that by faith you're going to live in that by the power of God, by celebrating the means by which it was brought to us. That temple curtain was ripped and God was not contained in the temple any longer. Now he lives in the temple of your heart. And so we take this bread this morning and we celebrate the fact that God has made dry bones live again. Take the bread and eat it. One of those songs. Out of what was it? Out of the ashes of defeat. Out of the ashes of defeat. One of the other songs that Dana had was it talked about guilt and it talked about sin. Well, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin, from defeat, from the ashes. You're washed from those ashes by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for you and makes you whole and makes you righteous. Not in a righteousness according to the law, which is what Ezekiel was upset about, but a righteousness according to the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness, which has been imputed to us as of a matter of right because we stated our belief in him as Savior and Lord. Amen? Let's just say it together. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Take the cup and celebrate what he's done in your life. Brothers and sisters, this morning, go out with these words ringing in your ears. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Amen? You, turn to your neighbor and just say, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One. Let me hear you. Can I hear you? You have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One of God. Yes, amen. Amen. An anointing. An anointing. God bless you. You go out, He's smiling upon you. It's not just the sun that you're feeling beating down upon your face. It's the righteousness of God which has been imputed to you, not as of the law, but through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? God bless you all.